Welcome to the Go Church Manchester Weekly Sermon Podcast with Pastor Alan.
All right. You know, we're just so grateful for our team. And, you know, all this church work that we do outside the church is one part of the serving of the Lord. One part of it is also in the church. And, you know, we really want to give thanks for all the people. The worship team, you know, they do an amazing job week in, week out. And, you know, the team on the sound, you know, even if the other teams aren't always filled, those teams always seem somehow there's always the right people there. And I just want to say a huge thank you to everybody that serves. We did have a slight glitch last week. The recording didn't work. So we'll have to think about how to do that during the week. Maybe I'll try and preach it to an empty church and re-record it. So, when it doesn't work, it's like, aw, isn't it? Yeah. But, you know, come on, out of the entire year, we've missed two, I think, or three out of the entire year. So that's not bad, is it? So, yeah, so let's just give thanks to the Lord. Father, we just thank you for your amazing love for us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that as we serve out of love, not out of duty. Father, I thank you that you look at the hearts of those that serve, those that give, those that care. And I thank you that you are pleased when we give willingly. And so, Heavenly Father, help us to be those that look out and see like you do the opportunities that exist. Heavenly Father, I thank you that your word this morning is going to be alive, active, powerful in hearts, and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the other opportunities for us to give there was an email that went out that Bolton University, one of the halls of residence, had a massive fire, if you heard about that. I think it was some cladding or something went up in flames, and a bunch of students lost everything. And praise God, I think there was no one killed, but they've lost everything. And so we sent out an email. If you want to give some clothes, you can bring them this week and next. And Laura, who's a student there, and she's running the CU at Bolton University, she'll get it over there. So I know there's some bags of clothing over there. If you read your emails, then you can see what the details are. And if you didn't get an email, you're either not signed up on Church Suite or you're getting your emails into spam. So check your spam folder, because everyone got an email. All right. So we've been looking at this sermon series really, love is. And looking at the question that Jesus raised with Peter in John 21. Do you love me? And I'm not going to go back into that too much, because that one was recorded in week one, where it talked about the two different types of love, the God kind of love and the man kind of love. The agape, the love of God, the philia, which is the man kind of love. And then we saw in 1 John 3, verse 16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us. Just a fantastic start to the series. We realize that, you know, that love is what changes us. That love is what transforms us. And we saw love is who I now am. Love has become part of me. And we then saw that love then fills me and then operates through me, overflowing. So it changes my responses, my reactions. And we saw that love is what I do. And that's the kind of love that the world needs to be challenged with. That's what this morning, Mission Sunday, CAP, Food Bank, all the other things that we're doing, going to other countries, it's all about loving on people, helping them to see hope in a hopeless world. That's such a key. You know, hope is such a major key. The one of the things that I've discovered in many of these countries is the lack of investment in infrastructure is a sign of the lack of hope. Why bother investing in infrastructure when you know it's going to be bombed next week? Why bother investing in your kids when they're going to die of hunger next week? Just getting real. When the compassion of God just starts to kick in. And we've been challenging ourselves, and I know I've not managed to do it every single day this week, reading 1 Corinthians 13. Really, just looking at these verses and just again and again, just letting them work in our hearts. Come on, let's just do that this whole month. Let's keep reading it. Let's challenge one another. Encourage, you know, talk to the person next to you. Hey, did you read it this week? Or ping an email to or text to someone going, hey, did you remember this morning? So without love, I am nothing and I gain nothing. And then we looked at love, and love is patient, it's kind, it's generous, it's good-tempered. Love refuses to think or consider or even do evil. I'm just thinking how to simplify, condense something that's already condensed. You know, Paul doesn't write small ideas. He packs every verse with ideas and just the power that's in that chapter. It's one of the greatest chapters, and the world quotes it lots. So this week, I just want to move back on and pick up something from week one that I said that we saw with the cross that the greatest display of love was Jesus on that cross. But when Jesus was getting ready for that cross, he prayed for you and for me. John 17 records Jesus' prayer. And I just think it's such a challenge. Jesus prayed in verse 9, he said, I pray that you won't take them out of the world. Sorry, that was verse 15. Verse 9, I'm praying for them, not for the world. So Jesus understood there were some people he was praying for and some people actually were not his focus. That's a challenge to me because I don't know about you, but I want everybody saved. But you know, the reality is not everybody's going to get saved. We just need to understand that. Our job's not to make the judgment. Our job is to let them decide. But they need an opportunity to decide. And if we don't present that opportunity, then they're going to go to hell. And we'll be the problem. That we didn't speak to them. We didn't give them that opportunity. We didn't just say, hey, have you stopped for one moment and gone, is there more to life than what I'm living in? That hope. So Jesus, in verse 9, said, I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but those you've given me, they're yours. Jesus prayed for you and for me. He prayed and he said, Father, I thank you that you're not taking them out of the world. I was like, oh man, that means there's something for us to do here. There's something practical that this message has got to turn into. And he said in verse 20, he says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Through whose message? Through our. Not through just the Bible's there, there's the message of Jesus, hey, here, read it. But actually through our message. As I said, that they that believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you're in me and I'm in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you sent me. You see, there's something that God's always intended, something incredible, something deep, something amazing, that we would show the world God's compassion. That's what this morning, Mission Sunday, is about. Us actually recognizing the compassion of God. You see, when I was reading through and I was just preparing, Lord, how do we want to express this? God showed me Moses. He took me to Exodus. Exodus 33. Moses is having a hard time with leadership. You know, sometimes it's tough leading people. I sometimes joke about being the pastor of a church. It's like herding cats. Everyone wants to do their own thing. You know, cats, you can't make a cat go in the right direction. And it's like, meow, off it goes. I think sometimes being a pastor is a little bit like herding cats. We're not supposed to be cats, we're supposed to be sheep. Cats are independent, sheep are meek. They do the things they're told to do. Okay. So when Moses was having a tough time, he went, oh God, show me your glory. In verse 18 and 19, he's like, God, just, I need something more of you. And I just thought it was amazing what God then does. God says to him, yeah, I'll cause all my goodness to pass before you. In fact, I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. And then he says, what that name is I have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will compassion on whom I'll have compassion. I was like, man, that's interesting. So Moses is having a tough time as a leader, and God goes, I'm going to show you my mercy and my compassion. I'm going to help you to see my goodness, not my judgment. I'm not going to beat your enemies up. I'm not going to strike and kill people. But I'm going to let people see. I'm going to want to give you a bigger revelation of my goodness so that you can lead better. You see, everything God does is for a purpose. And just that name and that compassion. And you see, God had to take one of his other prophets, a guy called Jonah. If you can find Jonah, it's kind of in the middle of the Bible. It's page 696 in my Bible. But if you go to the front of your Bible, you'll see an index there, and it's there in between Obadiah and Micah. So it's one of the minor prophets. It's literally two pages, four chapters, really short story. The story of Jonah. And I just want to remind us of this story. You probably know the first part. God spoke to a prophet, Jonah, and Jonah, as soon as he heard the prophet, ran the opposite direction. Does that sound like any of us? God asks us to do something, and we're like, whoom, we're off. Opposite direction. And of course, God, there's a storm, and he gets swallowed by a... No, he doesn't get swallowed by a whale. It's a big fish. No. Thank you. I wanted you to say that. Thank you for saying that. Do you know, we read these stories, but we don't really read the stories. We read the story version of the account. And it says there in verse 3, he got on a ship, got into trouble, got thrown overboard, and swallowed by a big fish. And in the fish... He repents. He repents for doing the wrong thing, going the wrong way. And the fish vomited him out. Yuck. Do you know, if you don't want to get covered in vomit, don't have kids. I mean, don't get swallowed by a giant fish. God spoke again a second time. Do you know, that can't have been very nice. When I first read it, I thought he vomited him at Nineveh, but it doesn't actually say that. It just says the fish vomited him out. And then the Lord spoke to him a second time. So covered in all that gunk, smelling. I mean, he must have had to take a bath for a whole week just to get rid of the smell. If you've ever been around fish, you know what that is like. And then God speaks to him and gives him the message, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. And... That's the message. You're going to take to these people, you're dead. You're going to die. It's time. But it's one of these good news, bad news stories, this one. The good news is he actually went second time. That's the good news. And when he went, he went through the city. And it took him 3 days to go from one side of the city to the other side. And he got to the other side. And as a result, in 3 days of him saying to Nineveh, you're dead, the whole city repented, including the king, including the lowest person, put on sackcloth, ashes. They even put sackcloth on the animals. The city went ballistic, total revival, And God said in chapter 3, I'm going to let them live. Jonah is hopping mad. I mean, seriously, this guy might be able to hear from God, but he doesn't have God's heart. And it just the power. So Jonah went up onto the mountainside or the hillside to look on the city and have a good watch, spectator sport. I think sometimes we're a little bit like that in church. We know of God's mercy ourselves. We know of the destruction coming, but we're far more interested in what we're doing and how church helps us than actually whether a city's going to die. In fact, God was like, started to play with him. If you don't get God's heart, God might start playing with you. I'm not, a bit of theological twisting here, but anyway. God made a vine grow up to give him some shelter from the heat of the day while Jonah sat there watching for the destruction to come. It's like, the heat beating down. So day one, nothing happens. Day two, God sent a worm that killed the vine. And Jonah was like, oh, this sun's too much. I'm going to die. In fact, I'd rather die. In fact, I'm so mad, God, that you have had mercy on these people. I would rather die. I'm so mad that you let them off because they repented that I want to die. That's kind of a bit crazy, eh? And I'm just thinking how much, when people get off and don't suffer the destruction for their sin, are we like that too? That actually, do you know what? How can they get away with it? How many times have you said that? How can they get away with it? And I didn't. That's actually what the problem is. I didn't. I got caught. Someone knew that I made that stupid mistake, but why do they get away with it? I don't know about you, but particularly with those that you're closest to, the kids, it's like, you know, there's one of the kids that you know, if they get away with things, the rest of them will do the same. So they get it in the neck, and everybody else learns from them. See, that's Bex just learned from Abby. Abby was always naughty. Bex was always good in the early years. She watched Abby, and she realized, don't do it. But then she gets away with things. She's the persistent widow in our house, the one that always knows how to, if she just keeps going, she'll get what she asks. Just keep going. But this Jonah story, Jonah gets to the end, and he's more mad about the vine dying, that he did nothing to look after, than this city surviving. And God goes, at the end of chapter 4, God goes, you've been concerned about this vine, though you didn't tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight, it died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from the left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city? I think this city that God's put us in, Salford, Manchester, Media City, whichever the version you're living in, different levels, Greater Manchester, Bolton. Yeah. What's your attitude? What's the perception that you have? Because when Jesus was teaching, he looked out. We read this in Matthew. It says, everywhere Matthew 9, when Jesus taught in verse 35, it says, he looked out on the crowds, and he had compassion on them because they were harassed and like sheep without a shepherd. I was like, is that exactly how I feel about the city? No. That is not how we naturally feel about people. We almost don't even feel that about our own family. I mean, we've already had that challenge. It's one of the reasons that we know we pass from death to life, because we love the church. We love the people in the church. But actually, Jesus is saying here, he says, he looked out and he saw them, the crowds. And he said to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to thrust out or to send out workers into his harvest field. And in Matthew 14, verse 14, it says, when Jesus landed, I mean, crossed over, and he said he saw a large crowd and he had compassion on them and he healed their sick. In fact, Jesus' compassion regularly led to miracles. The man in Mark 1, a man with leprosy came to him and said in verse 40, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus just removed the if, I am willing. Yeah. He changed things around quick. In Matthew 15, when Jesus had all these people come around and were listening to his teaching and it was all exciting, it was, what are we going to do for them? We can't send them away. They've been listening to me. It's time for a miracle. Feeding 5,000 plus. You see, the compassion of God refuses to let people go away without receiving a blessing. And I was just, God is just working in my heart these things. You see, compassion is normal with God. Amen. Judgment is reserved for those who, having received his compassion, keep on refusing. But he's compassionate again and again and again and again and again. Psalm 103, bless the Lord all my soul, who redeems my life, forgives me and all the rest of it, who has compassion. He crowns you with love and compassion. Psalm 103. He crowns you. In fact, it goes on in verse 13 and says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. There's something of God's compassion that God is wanting to kind of just work into our hearts today. Are you willing? You see, that compassion is not just love for people you know. So that's the challenge. You see, the agape, that agape, however you pronounce it, doesn't really matter. That love looks out and makes a decision to love. It doesn't love because it knows. It loves because it chooses to. It is a deliberate choice. In fact, in chapter 49 of Isaiah, speaking of his compassion, it says in verse 15, it says, can the mother forget the baby at her breast? God's speaking about the world, not just you and me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she's born? You see, this is the God kind of that we serve, the God kind of love. He looks out and is compassionate. It says, though she may forget, I will not forget. I've engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Your sons hasten back. Those who laid waste depart from you. There's compassion from God. He deals with enemies. It deals with the walls. It deals with the real structures, the things that are going on in people's lives. See, that's what Food Bank's about. That's what CAP's about. Helping in Bolton University students. You don't know any of these people. But something changes in you and me when we begin to receive the compassion that comes from God. You see, God's given us his love for us, but that's supposed to overflow not just to those in the church, but those who are not yet part of the church. There's something great that God wants to do. It says in Isaiah 54, it's one of the scriptures that Claire and I came to the city with, it talking about a city that was lashed by storms. And it says in verse 7, for a brief moment I abandoned you. For a brief moment I abandoned you. See, God sometimes will pull back from people so they realize they really are stuffed without him. You and me, that we're stuffed without God. If God doesn't turn up, I'm in trouble. It says, but with deep compassion, I'll bring you back. I love that. It's momentary abandonment for a lifetime of being with the Lord. I just, that's what gets to me. It says, with a surge of anger, I hid my face, but with everlasting kindness I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. It's like, oh, God. Isaiah 54 goes on in verse 10. It says, though the mountains may shake and the hills may be removed, yet my unfailing love for you would not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. I'm like, oh, come on, Lord. I know you're trying to say something. I know you're trying to work something. And God over the years has got me going places where I see what's happening around. Do you know, one of the reasons that Claire and I prayer walked this city, and we've prayed over streets, there's something you cannot do in your personal prayer room. You cannot see the people. You can pray for people in another country because there's no distance in the spirit. But you see, you can't actually see the poverty. You can't see the houses falling apart. You can't see the front yards that's just been dumped with rubbish. You can't see the disgrace, the shouts, the people calling names to one another. You can't see that when you're at home. In your home, it's peaceful, mostly. You might have walls next door and can hear your neighbors a bit. But the reality is, you close your door, you're safe, mostly. But when you go out, when you go on the streets, we went down with Mustard Tree in the early days with the homeless. It's one of the reasons I'm so pleased that as a church we are helping with Narrowgate. And I really, Brian and Judy picked that up and they've kept going. How many of you, many people gave last year, said they would give time to Narrowgate. How many are still doing it this year? One, two, three, okay, four, five. Oh, good. Well done. I want you to hear that from God, not just May. God's going, come on. This compassion, this love, this is not enough to just survive. It's not enough to just come to church. It's not enough just to love on God. How can you say you love God, it says in 1 John, if you don't love your brother? Jesus talks about the Samaritan, the parable of the Samaritan. I'm coming to a close here this morning because I really believe God wants to work some stuff. See, the Samaritan, people walk past him. The priest walked past, the scribe walked past. A foreigner who had nothing to do and was despised by Jews sees and not only cares for, provides for, and tends and makes sure that there'll be no problem. And I just think that's the compassion that God is saying. It's time for this church to rise in compassion levels. Many of you have come from other nations. Because God brought you here. You may not have planned it that way. I don't know. The reasons why people come to this country are myriad. Famine, problems, studies, better future for the kids. Those are all fine. But God brought you here. He was part of the plan. He was part of helping you shift here. Because he has a plan and a purpose to bless you and make you a blessing. And you know, there's something that happens when you go through the crowds of people. Go at Christmas, when you're going shopping, pray first about your shopping. And then when you go shopping, ask the Lord to reveal people's hearts to you. Ask him to show you what's going on around you. God's not after a bunch of princes and princesses prancing around who walk by faith and they look after their needs. He's after a bunch of people who are trustworthy with his things and care for people. Faith is supposed to be a blessing. Abraham was made incredibly rich to become a blessing. He was not blessed for his own sake. You see, that God gives us finances. He gives us things for the sake of the gospel to go out. I think it's exciting that Food Bank is doing more this year than last year. It may be slightly because we did something different last year, so I know there's kind of a bit of an adjustment. But CAP, we're doing more. What else is happening? I don't know all the things that are happening. Just hearing stories is such an important part of the compassion. When you hear the story of someone's life, it is hard not to be compassionate. I wouldn't want to be part of the border agency trying to decide who should stay and who shouldn't. I really wouldn't. Because trying to make those judgments and work out who's lying, who's telling the truth. Because when I listen to people that came through SASH when we were running SASH, most of those people, I would have gone, yeah, we need to care for these people. And I just, for us as a church, God wants to put some fresh vision. The love of God this morning, I really believe God wants us to respond to it. It's like now, I need to finish the sermon so that we can begin to respond. I just want to put your pens down, put your Bibles down, put your phones, iPhones, pads, whatever. I just want you to just stand and respond to God. Just this sermon this morning is just a call to open your heart. A call to move from being a consumer to being a blessing. Only you know where your heart's at. So I just invite you, just, Lord, ask him the question, Lord, am I more concerned with my life than other people? And that's a dangerous prayer, because he'll show you. He'll show you areas. But Lord, let's pray that together. Lord, I want to get real. And I'm asking you, show me where I'm more concerned about me than I am about other people. And our Holy Spirit, I ask you to fill me with your love and compassion. Give me eyes to see like you do. To see the needs around me. To have your compassion for those people. And to begin to pray with your passion and insights. Lord, give me a spirit of prayer. But also help me to be real. That I begin to see how I can give out of your riches.